That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Howdy, third hour, coming to you live, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio, the Tiki and Tierney Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Friday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. As we documented before, no TV for the final hour. A little Patriot League championship lacrosse action. Army and, not Holy Cross, who's playing Army and who else? The Greyhounds of Loyola, that is correct.
Maryland.
So the winner will advance.
I still beat Santer going into the break when I said that. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize Army was in the Patriot League. I mean, yeah. I guess I did, but I still think about them being in a conference. I mean, I know they have to be, but I don't think about Army and Navy and Air Force being in a conference.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
It's
a different. You know what? Because there's not a natural rivalry outside of the armed service academies.
Yeah, exactly right.
See, like, you don't see, like, Army Lehigh. Wow, man, that is deep. You know, I hear you. Army Bucknell. Boy, stop the presses. This one's it's all about this one tonight. Yeah, so by the way, my guys are playing for a chance to get to the NCAA tournament tomorrow morning. We're going to host this.
When was the last time?
We were there, I know at least
By the way, we're talking lacrosse.
Yes.
We're not talking baseball.
That's right.
Talking lacrosse.
Although I have a little baseball story for you in a second. Lacrosse Marist, we are hosting Quinnipiac tomorrow. Interesting. It's the battle of the poles.
Oh,
the Marist pole and the Quinnipiac pole.
I like it.
So if we win tomorrow, we will we'll go dancing. I know we played at Syracuse a couple of years back. We have a pretty good lacrosse program, actually. And I was in the gym this morning, and I see this guy. And he definitely looks, put it this way, he's doing a workout that I have, number one, no interest, and number two, no chance of doing at this point. He's like lean, ripped, thin, younger. Me, I'm just trying to hang on. You know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got the tights on. He's got, like, Seattle Mariners shorts on. He's got the tight-fitting, dry-fit Seattle Mariners T-shirt on, long-sleeve shirt on. I'm like, this guy's either the biggest Seattle Mariners fan in the world or he was just released from AA. I mean, what's going on here? So I started talking him up a little bit. He's a regional scout.
Oh, nice.
He's a regional scout. He does the entire Northeast from Maine. Maine. I know he does at least down to Jersey, maybe a little bit below that. And I said, you checking out any of the kids up at Marist? He said, yeah, come on. I don't want to say the names if there's another scout out there. I don't want to give away the secrets here. He's like, oh, yeah, we check in on Marist quite a bit. They got a couple of kids, a couple of younger kids, one upperclassman. Randy Tavares is his name. I have to give away shortstop. Go get him, Randy. So we'll see what happens there.
That's
funny. We'll certainly see. Yeah,
this might be the only weekend that both you and I are going to care about lacrosse at our alma maters. Because Virginia's playing –
For the ACC championship?
ACC championship. God, I can't remember.
North Carolina's usually pretty good.
Might be North Carolina. I just saw it we get the sports newsletter every day.
Uh-huh.
Digital, obviously. And I just looked at it, and I can't remember. But they're playing in the ACC championship.
Are they hosting it?
No, I don't think so.
Or is that a neutral site?
I think it might be neutral.
Okay.
So
okay.
We both will have lacrosse interest this weekend,
although
maybe the first time ever.
And maybe the only time.
I agree.
Although not as interested as I will be at 10 a.m. tomorrow, first Little League game. Mm. Do you remember AJ's first Little League game? He's now a junior in high school, for those that don't know.
Notre Dame, by the way. Virginia playing Notre Dame.
Oh, playing Notre Dame. Okay.
It's odd because AJ in Little League we were in the city.
I know.
And so
kind of tough to find leagues in the city.
It's impossible to find leagues, and it's impossible to find
a field. Yeah.
So technically, his first like Little League game was at it's like on an asphalt.
On a piece of grass.
Asphalt.
Concrete?
Concrete.
Oh,
little tiny.
Come on.
I'm telling you, like sandwich between two buildings.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Why don't you just play stickball instead?
Hit those couple. Where else are you going to go? You got
to
remember.
Go to Central Park.
But you got to remember, Central Park is inundated, dude. You can't get those fields in Central Park.
I don't mean the field with dirt. I mean a little patch of grass.
We would do that.
Okay,
but I'm talking about like an organized team.
Okay.
Getting together for the first time. It was in this little tiny asphalt like, oh, I guess you'd call it a field, but it's not really. It's
New
like,
York
it's,
City
it's,
for
it's
you.
It's like a, I don't know, it's yep. a lot.
Yeah.
And because this was before they redid Randall's Island. Now, Randall's Island is this little, it's turned into this athletic mecca.
Oh, yeah.
Just off of the, just,
East River.
It's just in the East River. But when AJ was a baby or whatever, 5 years old, mm-hmm. 6 years old, it wasn't redone yet. Mm-hmm. It was still just the golf
course. A little gnarly, a little dirty, a little.
There's a golf course over
hit
there.
Or miss.
It's basically where ruffians went and hung out.
A little bit. You know a little bit. I mean? Nice.
And now it's remade. And yep. by the time he was, you know, like nine, mm-hmm. eight or nine,
that's where the games
they were. They were like, it was amazing over there because
yeah.
it was like a complex.
Yeah.
And so it was cool when he was, you know, got a little bit older and could play on those fields. His first major league, or first little league game, he was like, we were on concrete, man.
You know what's funny about
which
this?
Which is hard because the ball doesn't roll right. You know,
well, they use probably one of those rubberized
yeah, it's true,
hard
but it
ball.
Doesn't roll right.
That's
like, the
good.
Feel
that trains
not,
the eyes. That's the how they learned in the Dominican Republic, even though point. They're not on concrete. But that's why they always say, you know, I mean, and it's obvious just on all the great shortstops, middle infielders, third baseman, infielder, baseball players. You know, your hand-eye coordination is trained at such an early age because you don't know where there's a piece of glass or a big pebble or whatever. You better have quick hands so you don't get hit in the chops. My mom was telling the story. She said it a few times, but it's amazing with Colton playing tomorrow. And I say playing. I mean, he's four, so I don't know how much playing, whatever. But my little league, I did not want to go. I was crying.
Why?
I didn't want to leave mommy's side. I told you, I'm a little bit of a mama's boy. I have no problem admitting that. I did not want to leave my mom's side. And I remember we were at my aunt's house, and I was crying a Friday night. And my dad's like, yeah, we have baseball tomorrow. I'm like, I don't want to go. And I visibly was crying. I went kicking and screaming. And then I was kicking and screaming when it was time to leave the park. Okay, so basketball tonight, right? We, I think you expect a different Bucks team to show up.
Well,
from game one.
Yeah. I think a different scheme.
A different scheme.
Yeah. More like we saw in game two. The Bucks are young. They're athletic. They believe that, you know, we're the best team. They're believing what happened in the regular season, as they should.
You think they believe that? Because I'm not so sure that they do. I think that might be part of the problem.
Well, I think they played like that in game one. Game two was significantly different. And I think game two is a testament to why Bud is such a good coach. Because instead of saying, we'll figure out what we do best and we're going to keep doing it and we'll submit the Celtics, instead of doing that, which seemed logical for a team that won, you know, 60-plus games, it was, you know,
yeah, force the opponent to react
yeah,
rather
exactly.
than, but yeah, I got you.
But I thought it was a smart move by Bud to say, look, we're going to change. We're going to switch everything. Which is hard to do in the NBA these days because sometimes you get these gross mismatches, especially when you got a ball handler like Kyrie Irving.
I hate switches.
I do too.
I think it's so lazy. Sometimes it's necessary, but I think it's.
But it was.
I'm not
but
a big
but here's the thing: it was necessary for the Bucks. But the only way, like, I give them credit because it's hard to do. Also, because when you switch, sometimes you get lost and you're like, wait, where am I? Who am I supposed to have?
That's what I'm saying,
right? Well, the Bucks executed it expertly, especially in the second half against the Celtics. So I think that defensive flexibility that Coach Bud can coach into them is important, and it's going to be very important as they go on the road. Obviously, the Celtics have already stolen home court advantage. I think the Bucks play, you know, at like they did in game two, more than like they did in game one, where they just felt overmatched. And this series feels like, you know, just like the Raptors and the 76ers, it could be a back and forth series because of the adjustments that both these coaches are able to make.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one adjustment that I would absolutely make if I'm Brad Stevens. Not only the first play, I mean, unless there's like a dunk and you just can't ignore it and you just have to take the easy two or even a wide open three. But the first, not just the first play, but the first two plays. And if it takes three, then it's the first three plays. And if it takes four, then it's the first four plays. The first plays I'm running, I got to get Jason Tatum involved in this series. I am the first play, and this is scripted, and you don't really script in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you script in the NFL. We talk about the first 15, et cetera. Baseball, you have a pitch pattern predisposed. What hitters are going to flail at, you know, where their hot zone is, where their cold zone is. There's always a plan. The NBA, yeah, you have a plan, but you have to react to what's in front of you. And you don't script anything. It's a lot of improvisation, as we know. I got to script something where I get Jason Tatum involved.
Why do
he's got 9 points?
I know why
in two games.
What can you chalk this up to?
I think a lot of it is that I was actually hoping you would ask me that because I think the answer is this: if I'm Bud, I have to know, if we know this, he knows this, that there is no way that defensively they can hang with Kyrie. They just can't do it.
No.
They're not equipped to do it.
Not at all.
They don't have the players. They don't have the personnel.
Right.
So that's one thing.
He's been lighting up Eric Bledsoe and George Hill. So it's not.
Yeah, George Hill's 33, 34, and Bledsoe. No, listen, and by the way, it's no crime to say that you can't hang with Kyrie Irving. Pretty much nobody can.
I agree.
Okay, so you almost chalk that up and say Kyrie's going to get his.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to look a little further down the matchup pool, and then you say, okay, what else might they have a little bit of an advantage of? Well, all right, Al Horford, even though Brooks is going to step outside and knock down some shots, and he's a big body, Al Horford is a not that he's necessarily a literal tough matchup, but his skill set makes it tough for us to, quote-unquote, win against him. So now we go a little further down the line, and we say, okay, who's the guy that we could take out? And I believe that the focus is taking out Jason Tatum. And now the onus is on Brad Stevens to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Because if he gets into a third game, and going into game four, and he has another single-digit, you know, snooze-fest bomb no-show, now the confidence is shot,
yeah.
And now you have nothing from a guy that you need.
Yeah, it's so amazing, too, when you see Jason Tatum from last year, when he's thrust into that role of having to be the guy, be the man for the Boston Celtics. And now, when he's sitting second fiddle to Kyrie, and, you know, he's thinking about earlier in the season, yeah, I don't mind going to play for the New Orleans Pelicans. It's like, you're right. There's a fragility that happens with young players when they try to re-find a role that they're in. And I think,
but he played well against the Pacers. His numbers were good.
I don't disagree.
Double figures every game, yeah, relatively efficient.
Yeah, but you know the Pacers were they were a little bit over their head. They played
that.
Great. They played great down the stretch in the regular season. You give them tons of credit for that.
No question.
But once you get to the second season,
but defensively, Pacers are pretty good. It's more about a lack of offense. Pacers defensively are fine.
Yeah, but at some point you just get frustrated overall. Like when you can't score. And all it is hustling on defense, right? We're gonna make this, we gotta win 85-82, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gets frustrating for this modern crop of NBA players, and so you knew that they were overmatched. But once you get to the second level against the best team, record wise in the East, it's a different animal, especially because the Bucks aren't, you know, they're no slouches on the defensive side as well. And so Jason Tatum's, I think he's been in this. I don't know. He's in this rediscovery phase. I don't want to call it the sophomore slump, it just feels like he's in this rediscovery. No, it isn't his third year. This is third year, second? Yeah, this is third year. So you don't want to call it like this slump. He's just got to rediscover what he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard for him.
Well, all he has to do is, I know what you're saying about the Pacers being, you know, limited, but all he's got to do is watch that footage. I mean, he shot 50% from the field in that series. He shot 54% from 3-point range. You know, every game, 36 minutes, 35, 39, 34, there were points, there was efficiency, two games against the Bucks, both, 130 minutes, 125. He's 4-for-17 overall, which is 24%. He's yet to hit a 3-point shot, 0-for-3. He's not getting to the stripe. What he does, he's not hitting them. I mean, he's been invisible, and if he doesn't get hot, they're not going to win. I think Tatum busts out a little bit tonight. I'm going to call for 17 to 19 points. I think Jason Tatum's going to play well. Coming up next, speaking of playing well, who's got a little more pressure on them in terms of playing well? I mean, is it Jokic or is it Damian Lillard? Let's hone in on that series a little bit. Tiki and Tierney, we're going to bounce out west right here on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. No TV the final hour. Little lacrosse. The Patriot League action. Shout out to Loyola Greyhounds and West Point Army. They're getting after it. So that's on the TV. So if you planned on watching Tiki and Tierney on the way home, DVR. Conventional listening methods apply. You know how to do that, so no TV final hour. As much as we are locked into the Celtics-Bucks series, there's also something that's equally as interesting because it's the same exact script. Games, you know, both teams have a win. Scene shifts to Portland tonight. You got the Nuggets and the Blazers. And, you know, my take from game two was that I really thought, and I still do, because now I think the Blazers will win the series. Wasn't convinced coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking the Blazers officially now. Whatever. Could be wrong. Whatever. You make predictions. You're not always right.
Why is this? Because they didn't play well and they still won?
Because, when you look at the flow of the game, and I'm not reacting to the win. I'm reacting to the script that actually led to the win. And the fact that Damian Lillard was arguably as bad as he's been all season, and McCollum had 20 points but wasn't incredibly efficient. One of the two or three best backcourts in the entire NBA shot about 30-something percent on the night, and they still win. That's a big problem to me for Denver.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the, the stats about shooting with the Nuggets because they were ice cold in this game, especially from three-point range. That in front of their bench, in front of the Portland bench, they were like 0-for-10 or whatever it was. And so I don't remember what media outlet it was. They looked at it. Mm-hmm. And it's because every time they're over in that corner, the guys are shooting, they're jumping off the bench and they're screaming at them.
That shouldn't be allowed, by the way.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, why is that not illegal? Right, there was one where Enes Kanter was like waving a towel. He's on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
He's like waving a towel and screaming at whoever was over in that corner. I think it was Jamal Murray in that specific shot that we saw. And they were just clanking them because they're distracted. They're getting yelled at. And so, I mean, what? Whatever it takes. You're not cheating. You're not trying, right? But that was the first thing I thought. It's like, how is that legal?
Well, Santa, so you like that? You think that's okay?
I mean, they're sitting on the bench. They're out of bounds.
Even if they're standing up.
I mean, they're not getting into the field of play.
I mean,
it's not their fault that some guy is fading back into the bench.
But no, it's not even that. It's like they're trying to distract them. Like, but I mean,
I understand.
When I say yelling, I mean like yelling. They're not saying, hey, they're like, ah! I mean, they're like fully screaming. And
so,
Kanter is like running from
It's not their fault that the court is designed in a way that the bench is 2 feet away from the end line.
But Kanter is like running.
But you shouldn't be allowed to stand.
So if... Think about this. If you're taking a shot, all it takes is a little bit of peripheral.
Well, that's not what Mike's not calculating. Mike's thinking about the yelling, which I have no problem with. It's the peripheral vision that you definitely sense as a shooter.
You see somebody waving a
100%
towel.
100%, I'm with you.
You're like, wait, is that hitting me?
100%.
All it takes is your eyes to click off your target for half a quarter of a second, and then shots off.
I agree.
But if you're waving your towel and you're out of bounds and you're sitting or standing right next to your seat on the bench.
But Cantor's like running.
He's
like
running. Sucks for you.
Samter, he's like running at it. I mean, he's like taking steps towards him, waving the towel, screaming. It's crazy. The video is pretty astounding.
Mike, it's easy to confuse that as a closeout defender. That's what I think you're kind of ignoring here.
I mean, they're behind you and they're on the bench.
But they're not direct,
look ahead.
But are they behind? They're behind you, yes, but if they could also be to the left and the right of you and behind you, which would obviously infiltrate the peripheral aspect.
I mean, listen, they're in the bench area. You're going to tell players they can't stand up, they can't wave towels while they're on their own bench?
Why do they tell the golf gallery not to move when somebody's on the tee box? Why do they put
And this isn't golf.
I understand
that. People cheer.
But it's the same physical dynamic, Mike. Think about why do they hold the sign up on the tee box? Quiet. Because as a golfer is swinging peripherally out of the corner of his eyes.
Yeah, but they don't tell fans to be quiet during shots. They don't tell, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
in basketball, you're allowed
them
to be as loud as you want to during
shots. I'm not saying you can't yell.
At a free throw line, you got fans behind. They're waving stuff back and forth.
These are fans. I'm talking about players.
Stop that.
I'm talking about like a 7'8", whatever.
It's one of the advantages of having them shoot your side of the bench. When they're on the other side of the court, you don't have that advantage. The other team does. Both teams have the same advantage.
But most teams don't do it.
Doesn't it tinge on unsportsmanlike? See, I don't think
behavior.
It's cheating. No, is it unsportsmanlike? Maybe, but I don't think it's cheating.
No, we didn't say it was cheating. We just said it's a little.
Oh, Tiki said if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, I mean,
that's kind of cheating.
That's true.
It's kind of cheating.
It's just
a little bit morally flexible.
It's not cheating.
I mean,
it's not cheating.
Somewhat, you're basically putting an extra defender on a guy who's not on the court.
Don't be.
You're putting an extra
now.
Defender on a guy. I'm just I'm being.
That's
Mr.
not
little.
Cheating.
It's not.
It's maybe a little
unsportsmanlike.
I could go with that. I think that frames it.
But you know what though? Until the day where you see NBA players admit when a ball goes off their hands, or like actually raise their hand for every foul, then you know what? There's unsportsmanlike in every sport. Like, you see this all the time. It hits off this guy's hand. He's like, I didn't touch it. He knows damn well that he touched the ball and went off his foot.
Now we could have a million examples. That's ridiculous.
I'm just saying, sportsmanship is in the eye of the beholder. Everybody lies. Everybody kind of does what they have to do to win the games. As long as they're not breaking any laws, who cares?
Diesel, you agree?
I actually don't like agreeing with him, but I do.
Yeah. It is a tough sell, isn't it?
Yeah, I do agree with him. I think it's fair game.
You do?
Yeah.
Even if somebody's waving a prop, even if somebody has a prop, again, think about the example Tiki said. Enes Kanter running at a player with a towel. Enes Kanter is 6'9 and a half.
I don't think it's out of,
I can't find the story now. I need to find it so I can send it to you so you can see it. It's just crazy.
Why is that any different than if a fan did it, though?
Because the fan wouldn't be allowed to, first of all.
And he's not that close. Think about what we're talking about.
No, there are fans who are that close. Whether they're on the baseline or they're right by the scorer's table.
Yeah, but a fan's not going to.
Yeah, all the time. We see fans standing up and yelling at players when they're on the sideline.
Russell Westbrook got a little annoyed at the kid from Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, it does happen.
True.
Now we're going to have to say that he's right twice. I disagree with that. The fans are obviously
there. Now, what I think would be interesting is if the NBA went back and like reviewed the video and they saw that while waving the towel, part of the towel crossed the end line, give him a suspension or a flagrant. Or flagrant or something, or some sort of whatever, technical.
How about just a warning? You know, let's just give you a warning. Do that again.
Well, yeah, warning for the first time, but maybe the second time. If as you're waving the towel, it is going onto the area of the court, who knows?
I mean, I still think you're underrating or overlooking the peripheral vision aspect. I know that.
That's what I thought.
I really agree with that. Yeah. That's where I'm with you on, Teak. And maybe it's just because you and I are athletes and he's not. I mean, you know, that's what it comes down to. I'll lump myself into your category,
exactly.
Teak, for that. But when you, like, if we, all right, so how about this? So imagine if we do a live broadcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were just in Nashville, Tennessee. And our setup was such that we had a tent over our head for the rain,
yep.
But also to our left and to our right. So we were enclosed, and the front of our broadcast desk that faced the crowd was open.
Yes.
Now, you do enough TV, you learn to just dial in and you know, get your thoughts out and transfer them from your mind to your mouth and move on. But if we were in the middle of, you know, a park or an arena, and somebody's kind of, you know, you pick those things
like
up.
Like throwing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, around you.
I'm always kind of looking out of the corner of my eye. I don't know. I mean.
Here's an example for this show, all right?
Yeah.
Now, you guys are professionals. You've been doing radio for a long time. Mm. Tiki, if I'm talking into your ear while you're trying to make a take.
But I have the ability to keep talking.
Yes,
if you
it's
are
called
talking.
Being a professional and having your skills honed to a point that I can talk
but
in your ear.
Because I'm used to it. Right,
these if you're guys a basketball player, you're not used to peripheral things. Whether you're on the street,
not a 6'9",
yeah, you know what though, if you're playing in the playgrounds in Brooklyn, there's a car driving at you, or some kid on a bicycle, or the ice cream man, right? Like you got the peripheral at all times. Maybe there's a dog running at you in the park.
Listen,
if you're a pro, you can handle periphery.
And you ain't got
do me
none.
One favor, Mike,
because you can't afford it.
He. Because he's not wrong when he says that again.
I know, you're right. He's right.
This is a record. We're giving him three green lights.
Technically,
here.
He's correct. He's correct.
But here's what's bothering me about it. He has not seen the video.
Yes, so and I can't find it.
Everything he's saying, it's a sensible take. But you have to see the towel.
Yes.
That's what you're not incorporating.
To your point, I am not specifically talking about this one instance with Enes Kanter and
but
a towel.
But that's what he is.
But I'm saying we're talking about generalities of whether or not players should be able to distract guys taking a three in the corner. I think it's fine. I'm not seeing the specific video. So maybe this one video is more egregious
than
9,000 others that I've seen. But outside of this one instance that I haven't seen, I'm making my generalization based off every other game I've ever watched.
And there was another guy who was behind him. He was like blocking the shot from behind. Like he obviously couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you never know. He's standing up. He's right behind him. His hand is right over the ball.
I got you. I understand. Get the update here from Ack. Ack, how you doing today, buddy? You good?
Swell. Yourself?
Ack.
Swell.
What do you got planned for the weekend?
I haven't heard swell in a while.
Well, I mean, look at him. I mean, not look at him. I don't mean that. But it's Ack.
Swell.
Swell. I know. I'm just saying. I haven't heard swell in a while.
Yeah. I bring that back.
No, please don't. Not to this show. Maybe to the other show that you're on.
Oh, no.
Bring it back to Rome. He'll get rid of you in a heartbeat.
This show establishes swell.
Swell.
What do you got going on this weekend? This should be quick.
Dinner with friends.
Dinner with the girl?
No. Well, there will be a girl present, but she's my friend's wife.
It's about as close as you're going to get this weekend, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Cinco de Mayo. Enjoy it. So.
Hey, listen, man, if they get off to a rocky start, maybe you, you know, I don't know.
I think they're in it for the long haul.
All right, let's get the update here from Mac. We'll come back. We've got the blast. Official predictions on the hoops tonight. Tiki and Tierney, Rich Ackerman. Update right now. All right, it is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts here on Tiki and Tierney. Today's question, Paul Tomlinson at Paul I Do. All right, guys, do the Sixers need to win both home games to advance past the Raptors? I don't think that they do. Tink, what do you think?
No, I don't think so either. I think it's Paulie Do. Paulie Do.
Paulie I Do.
Paulie. No, Paulie. Paulie. What Paulie Do. Do the Sixers need to win both
Twitter
games
handles
to
are so annoying. They're so annoying.
I don't think they need to win both, but I do think they will.
So you don't think that? Well, so already we're done with the Raptors. The same guy who all year is telling the Raptors. Now they're going to lose both games.
The Raptors could lose both games in Philadelphia. I think the Sixers win both games in Philadelphia and still win. And Toronto could still win the series.
You wouldn't think that. Wait. So if we come back on Monday and it's 3-1 Philly, you tell me the Raptors are going to win the series.
They can still win the series
because they haven't had that fourth defeat, but they won't.
Yes.
Okay.
Paul, I do. Paulie do.
Paulie D's. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices.
All right, I showed Samter the video on the break. Samter, do you amend your stance after seeing Enes Kanter basically go onto the court, the assistant coach hold his clipboard out next to three-point shooters in the corner in front of the bench, and whoever else is standing up blocking shots behind him? Do you amend your stance, Samter?
Yes and no. I amend my stance on this specific instance because if you watch the video, Enes Kanter 100% had his foot either on the line or on the court. So, yes, I think that the NBA should review this and either fine or even give a retroactive technical to Enes Kanter. But generally speaking, unless the player makes his way onto the court, whether his foot hits it or the towel gets onto the court, I don't care what you do behind that line while you're on the bench area.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
All right.
At least I convinced you a
little bit. I would not be
bit.
Very nice to Sam to the rest of the show because I just saw what he did on social media here. And this is a passive-aggressive swipe at us. So let's not talk to him the rest of the way. Ready?
Yes, go ahead.
Somebody by the name of Unusual Matty B, that's his Twitter handle, tweeted at our show account, at Tiki and Tierney.
Yes.
And Unusual Matty B, which, by the way, I don't totally disagree with his take here. He says, this whole NBA sideline players bench should not be able to distract shooters is one of the dumbest takes you guys have ever had. But I didn't even bring it up. He just pulled me into it. This Mike dude is the only one with valid points. You guys sound stupid. And then Mike subtweets, damn right. Now, again, he's passively... So, I mean,
that's not passive. That's straight aggressive.
Well, no. It's not straight aggressive because we can, if we wanted to believe that you could say, damn right, to his point, Mike's the only one who knows, who has a valid point. But we could also take it as, you guys sound stupid. Which so we probably
I'm,
did.
Now I'm stupid.
No, listen, there's a difference between saying that you are stupid and that you sound stupid, right? It's kind of like saying to your wife, you are a B-word or you are being a B-word. Oh, there's a different thing.
Yeah, that doesn't...
Watch out, Susan. Look, no,
there's no comparison there.
Look who you're marrying.
What the hell are you talking about, man? Good God.
You are a bleep or you're acting like a bleep. Say it to anybody.
This is
yeah,
a...
Not the wife. This is a different.
Fine, to you. Tiki, you're acting like a bleep.
Yes.
It's different than me saying, Tiki, you are a bleep.
Yes.
Right?
Either way, I still give him
so
the
saying that
you
guys sound stupid doesn't mean that you guys are stupid.
Yeah, we're not stupid.
You're one of the smartest people I know. BT
no,
is,
here we go.
Let's
kiss Tiki's ass now to finish up the week here. Here we go.
It's the Portland Trail Blazers, Denver Nuggets. Game 3, right? Yeah, talk about something.
Yes, we could also talk about the blast. Let's go. Okay, Stephen Jones supports the new playoff overtime rule that gives both teams one possession no matter if the first team scores a touchdown or not. Do we like this rule?
I like the rule. got to make it fair. It's not fair as it's currently constructed.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. I mean, I've in the interest. I mean, give me a little more than that, buddy. Come on.
Yeah, it's a simple question, Samter.
Do you like this rule?
Samter's being non-intelligent.
Well, then to make it more difficult,
I'm not going
to
call you stupid because that's rude. I'm going to call you non-intelligent. You ask a very simple question. Do you like this rule? You ask a simple question, you get a simple answer.
Hold on. So you're saying I am unintelligent, or if the question was unintelligent?
Both. Here's the thing. First rule of broadcasting: if you ask, think about the most, I don't know, the most polarizing interview that you can land outside of the sports realm,
yes,
right? And you ask whomever that subject, you ask them a yes, no question. The first thing they teach you in journalism, never do that because you take them off the hook.
Yes.
Same with the double barrel question. If you ask two questions, the subject will latch on to the less threatening of the two.
The better
but the
way
difference
to
is I'm not interviewing you guys, better, so it's not like
well,
I'm looking
technically,
for
that's what,
a yes
that's
or
what
no
the
answer.
Blast
you guys
is.
Are entertainers and opinion makers who are required,
yeah,
not
it's
required,
Friday.
But are expected to give more than
Samter,
yes or no
it's
answers.
Friday.
I don't think we're very entertaining the last 20
you
minutes.
You would
have be
been better off saying, explain why you do or do
yep,
not like
I,
this
I agree
rule.
With Dinky.
Why do you not like this? Why do you or do you not like this rule?
It's too late. It's not in black and white.
No audibles allowed, Samter. All right, the Raptors, Masai Ujiri, the GM, intrigued by the Wizards'
really?
Job here. Yeah, he is. So, all right, this I guess we can answer. This is not a well, actually, it is a yes-no question. Mike he writes, are the Wizards a better spot next year than the Raptors? No.
I don't know why he would be involved in, be interested in this post, other than he's thinking about his legacy. Honestly.
Legacy?
Being serious.
Well, you want your legacy attached? Now I will give it a little context. Well, do you want your legacy wrapped up with John Wall's ruptured Achilles making $40 million next couple of years? I would
no.
No way is it a better job than the Raptors.
I do not. But here's the thing.
What if Kawhi leaves?
The Raptors are going to lose Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
He's out.
Still the better job. You have money.
Kyle Lowry.
You have money.
True. Kyle Lowry.
You have Siakam? Money.
But Lowry's a flawed star.
But he's only got a year or two
so
to
you're
go.
Likely,
got 2 years
you're
to
likely
go.
To take some steps back. You've gotten certain points in the playoffs, mm-hmm. milestones in the postseason. Now you go somewhere else and do it better with Jordan as the guy there.
Uh-huh.
You can do it a little bit under the radar.
But
and
you
be Jordan,
only have
and
two
be
more
Jordan,
years of Kyle Lowry.
And be Jordan's savior, but then you got to restart.
I understand that, but at least you can restart without having $45 million attached to John Wall.
Trade John
and
Wall.
A shred, who's going to acquire him?
I don't know.
With a shredded Achilles? If he was a horse, he'd be shot. All right, moving on here. Let's see. Enes Kanter calls out the Nuggets fans for saying, go back to Turkey. Oh, wait, you can't. Is that really inappropriate trash talk?
Yeah. I mean, fans are stupid. Talk about
come on.
Stupid.
Well, let's finish strong here. Come on.
Yeah, but fans are stupid.
What do you mean fans are stupid?
Because that's insensitive.
That's kind of the people who are listening to the show. Don't call them, be that mean to them. I don't think they're stupid. I think
they're
great.
You just compared John Wall to a horse.
No, I said if he were a horse, Scott, you know, unfortunately, he'd be shot. Because, if you know, when a horse gets injured, that's it. It's the end of the road.
But he's not a horse.
It's a glue factory. The analogy being he's a speed guard, and now his speed is compromised. I think most people got that.
Sort of.
Here, let me say something serious about Enes Kanter, who we had in studio.
I agree.
Who sat right. You agree. This guy's checked out. I just said, let me say something about Enes Kanter. He goes, I agree. Okay, all right. What do you agree with? I didn't say anything. So Enes Kanter sat in this studio, right? And he spoke about Turkey. And this was right before he started to really, truly do this on a daily basis. And you and I were like, wow. I mean, this guy is quite cavalier with the country you really don't want to mess around with.
No.
And his family's there. We know about the history.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he called out the Nuggets fan. Nuggets fans shouldn't reach for that low-hanging fruit, I guess. But Enes Kanter has put that out there a lot himself. So they're just reacting to what he says in a lot of ways. I don't love that aspect of trash talk. But Enes Kanter kind of embraces
it's
that.
It's a serious issue that shouldn't be joked about. That's why I'm saying it. People are dying in Turkey.
Clearly get
and
that.
And you're basically, whatever.
I mean, it's a stupid comment. It's weak, but.
It's a stupid comment.
All right, Fuzz. All right, since breaking out of his 0-for-54 slump, Chris Davis is on a little roll. Chris Davis hitting 325, three bombs, 11 ribbies in 13 games. I didn't even realize it was that good. Good for Chris Davis. Are we buying that Chris Davis is back to his old self? I mean, no. I mean, the old self where he hit, what was it, 54 home runs, I think was the number. No, I wouldn't say that. But he certainly represents a functional Major League Baseball player again. And in a cyclical sport, one that is rooted in failure, he's always been a streaky guy, even when he was productive. I mean, who the heck knows? Maybe he hits 9 or 10 home runs in May, and he hits, you know, 290 or 300 with 25 RBIs.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for him.
I agree.
He could have easily quit.
He was historically bad.
Yep.
0 for 54. I didn't play baseball on a major league or high enough level to know how to get out of slumps or what causes them, whether it's mental or physical.
Go to the
bar
and get a slump buster. That's really what you do.
But kudos to him, man. You're right. Easily he could have drowned in this all season long and been optioned and then done with his Major League Baseball career. So he got himself right. Got to tip your hat to him.
All right. See, Clemson basketball, the assistant, intimates in the FBI probe audio that Dabo and the football program cheats, and Dabo wasn't, as you can imagine, very thrilled about this. Okay, so based on the intimation from the former Clemson basketball assistant, should the NCAA intervene and investigate based on those claims within the athletic department?
No, no. The Steve Smith has been dismissed from Clemson's program, as you can imagine. Should they invest? I mean, no. The NCAA doesn't have subpoena power. They can't do anything, really, unless you're blatantly caught cheating or you know, trying to beat the rules of intercollegiate and professionalism.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying, though. So
it's different. I mean, all these guys are paying somebody, right? So,
well, you know, I don't think the
NCAA is inclined to investigate Clemson.
I agree. I do agree on that. All right, prediction time tonight. Let's see. I think the Celtics win a tight one. I think the Bucks play better. I think the Celtics still win.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
I've got Portland tonight. Beats Denver.
Yeah, I think Portland
close
does too. And I think the Nuggets don't make a shot from three-point range in front of the Portland bench.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to run out from behind. Flare towels.
I just want the show to end.
And everything else.
Please, I'm sick.
Now I'm going to watch
for it. I've
been
hiding. I'm sick as a dog.
Now I'm going to watch. Now I'm going to watch for it. Because I didn't notice it until it was pointed out on SB Nation, I think it was, where the article was. I didn't notice it. Now I'm going to look out for it. See if it makes a difference.
I hope I'm not getting strep throat. I don't feel well.
Well,
Colton was sick.
Stay over there.
Home.
Get nowhere near me.
I hear you. I got to take something tonight. I got a big weekend in Little League.
It's Cinco de Drinko.
Cinco de Drinko. DeSell, what are you doing this weekend, pal?
We need to do this more often.
Well,
I find these last 30 minutes have been very entertaining.
I hear you. Some funny parts for sure. What are you doing this weekend, DeSell? Yo mas.
As Tiki said, Cinco de Drinko, but like I can't get involved in that anymore.
Why not?
I'm too old.
Oh, just stop with the nonsense. You're 30 years old, dude.
It's true.
I can't hang anymore.
Oh God.
You can have like a couple. And that's it.
Dude, it's the same thing. I haven't really gone hard anymore on like a St. Patty's Day in years.
St. Patty's Day is
for amateurs. There's nowhere to go on St. Patty's Day where it's normal. You just can't.
Yeah, that's
you can't
a big
even,
part of it,
you
too.
You can't even go like to the
you know
local
what? I live in the
restaurant.
City. There's a million places that aren't doing St. Patty's Day stuff.
Really?
Yeah, there's a million that are, but there's a million that aren't. I'm just past that part.
Why? You look like a leprechaun. You shouldn't be.
I'm a pot of gold.
All right, everybody. Have an outstanding weekend. Little League, golf, chilling with the wife and the fam. Whatever you guys are doing, enjoy it. Be safe. Enjoy the hoops. And we will catch you on Monday. Be well. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.